Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome to episode 2 of season 6 of Barbecue and Tech. I'm your host this week, Mr. Big Chris Ashley. I'm here by myself because Rod's kids are amazing, and he just got back in town late yesterday. His kids are super, super fast track stars, and they actually went to one of the sneaker shoes race or tournament, and one of his kids missed the finals by like 0.01 seconds. And then his other son made the finals, but missed the medal round by like 0.03 seconds. So they're crazy fast. Rod was a crazy fast athlete growing up. He did track all events. And even though he's a short guy, he actually did very well in all races, including the hurdles. Which is crazy because you think, you know, having longer legs, it wasn't his best race, but I'll let him tell that story one day. But he was extremely fast runner. So anyway, so we wanted to get this official season, get the season officially rolling. I know we gave you guys a preview episode of what's going on, and we started a little bit later in the year, getting the early season out. You know, we tend to do 2 seasons a year, and we do one, usually start one, usually at the end of the Super Bowl. However, yeah, I started a food truck. So it's a crazy trying to find and schedule time now, to do all the other things you want to do. I haven't even fired up my saw in like 2 months, which is a bummer because I really need to make a couple cutting boards. But anyway, we'll get to that. So anyway, I've finally kind of settled into a groove with things and have a day or two where I can kind of, you know, do some administrative stuff. But more importantly, I can, you know, get down there and decompress. You know, I miss doing the podcast because it's a way for me to kind of recap everything that I've been going through or thought of and decompress and kind of really just rethink about everything that's been going on. So how has the food truck been going? Actually, really, really cool. We're having a great time. I'm tired as heck, but it's a good tired. It's not like the tired when you've had you've been in meetings all day and you come home and you're just really, really mentally and physically drained where you just don't even want to move. I'm tired, but I'm super motivated to get to the next step and do whatever next needs to be done. So I'm sore. My knees have been killing me. My calf has been super tight. I haven't been training like I normally have been I was on a nice groove with that. But all in all, I'm still having a great time with this new venture and things have been very, very positive overall. So the truck is doing cool. And essentially what I did was I started establishing a central or a single spot where I can post up anytime I want. And I'll park the trailer, put out an announcement, say, hey, I'm going to be here. and it's got a decent enough traffic area where I can pick up a lot of foot traffic. You know, nothing crazy, just, you know, a good amount. And then, but I've also already started getting repeat customers, folks that are looking for me, to see if I'm at the spot. One kid, he works at the YMCA, and I swear he's been there. I've been out there 5 weeks. He's been out there every single week. In fact, he sent his dad out too. So, I had to give him a free banana pudding because I realized, you know, he was saying, hey, my dad came by here, and it immediately struck me who his dad was. Because once I looked at it, and I remember having a pretty long conversation with his dad, I was like, it didn't strike me at the time, but when he mentioned it, I knew exactly who his dad was. And I was like, man, and those are the moments and the things that help build a business, right? That word of mouth and that, spreading of love. So that he's a good kid. He's a lifeguard. And, yeah, I appreciate him coming through pretty much every week. And there's been a bunch of people that have come through multiple times and purchased stuff. So, all in all, we're having a great start, to this, food truck business. So specifically what I wanted to talk about today is the brisket. So for those who have not looked or have no idea, what we're selling on the truck is, brisket, ribs, pulled pork, and then I'm doing a smoked chicken and waffle sandwich. And then in order to make sure we have the ability to sell off stuff, and you know, maybe in that iteration people aren't too excited about the options, we've pretty much made everything into a slider. And so we have a brisket slider, we have a chicken slider, we have the pulled pork are sliders in general, and then we have then the smoked chicken and waffle slider as well. So that way, you know, maybe you don't want, you know, a half pound of brisket. You just want, you know, you just want something quick. Well, then you can just get it in slider form, a little bit less meat, but you can just eat at will. And so that was the thought process around doing that. And that allows me to make sure I'm not carrying a bunch of food day to day. Or too long. I don't want to be throwing out food, right? I don't want to run out, but I don't want to have a lot left over either. So that's kind of the menu. And through that menu, I've picked up a lot more tips and tricks, to brisket, pulled pork, ribs, and chicken. So this, you know, so we're going to have a lot to talk about this season, but I wanted to start out with brisket. And I know, you know, the weather's starting to change. A lot of people are going to start venturing out into doing their first brisket. I know my friend, Steve, Allison's husband, is about to venture into his first brisket. And, you know, it's the thing that, my truck is becoming known for pretty rapidly. I've had multiple people, you know, give me humbling comments, and then there's essentially, you know, best brisket I've ever had. I love what you're doing. This brisket is awesome. You know, these type of things, you know, it's not always perfect. And this is the one thing that, you know, everybody should take home, right away. Even I who have been cooking briskets, even I, as if I'm like God's gift to brisket, but myself who has taught a lot of people how to cook briskets and have cooked a lot of briskets, I do not hit the mark every single time. So right out the gate, they're not all perfect. They're good. They're edible. But, you know, I would say if I cook four briskets, maybe half of them are like, I'm like, those are perfect. And then the other half are like, those are good, but not perfect. So, you know, that's why you have to keep trying. You have to keep doing it. But on the other side of things, I think I've been averaging anywhere between 6 to 8 briskets a week that I'm cooking. and so I have learned a lot more But you know, over the years, you guys have heard episodes of that we've done planning for large cookouts, and all of these skills and all of these tips and tricks that we've talked about, you know, using Siri for reminders and, you know, planning your menu and understanding your times and all of those things have played a major role in how I've been able to cook all these briskets and all this food to get ready for a weekend of sales. And so the way it works is I'm essentially earlier in the week, I'm cooking the bulk of my food, probably like on a Wednesday or Wednesday through Thursday. I'm cooking the bulk of my food, and then I go out and sell it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I have a donut shop that has added a Blondie's Donuts. They've added a brunch menu. And one of the items on their brunch menu is a brisket sandwich that they do. They actually have two versions of it. One is like a breakfast one, and one is a dinner or a regular meal one. And then they are sourcing my brisket for that sandwich. So pretty much every week, or at least every other week, I am sending them 3 to 4 briskets right out of the gate. And so you smoke 3-4 briskets for them, and then turn around and smoke another 3, or, you know, to get through the weekend. And then if I have a pop-up event, most likely I'm going to go through at least a brisket and a half. So that means I end up going out, grabbing another brisket, or just to make sure I can make it through the weekend. So the amount of brisket I have been cooking over the last few weeks have been absolutely crazy. But you know, it's all been fun, and I'm having a great time doing it. But with that said, is one of the things that I've immediately realized is that you might have to change your expectations of what the brisket is going to look like when it's done and when it's going to be done. So let me explain. So for me, the main thing I had to do was realize that a lot of the food all the food that I'm cooking has to be reheated, because I just cannot feasibly plan where I can cook a brisket and it's ready just in time for me to start sales for the day. Logistically, it's rough for me to do that. Why? Because I have a food truck that's mobile, so I have to be able to park that thing somewhere. You know, briskets are going to take anywhere to 7, 8 to 12, 14 hours, depending on size and weight and all of that stuff. So, you know, there's not like a regular parking lot where I can just go park my truck and sit for 6 hours or so or 10 hours to cook a brisket, right? And it's not comfortable, right? So if I go somewhere remote, I'm usually either just watching videos in the lightning, or maybe, you know, sitting on the trailer, cleaning it or doing something like that. So it's not comfortable. And I live in a townhouse, so I can't necessarily just park in my space in front of my house. That's not allowed. What I have done is parked on the side road to my house, and that seems to be okay. I don't particularly like it because the road is wide enough where people can get past, but some people over exaggerate trying to pass a trailer, and they're like 2 car lengths into the other oncoming traffic lane. And even though it's totally unnecessary, I just don't want to be responsible for somebody who's like, oh, I just need to get all the way over here, getting into an accident because my trailer is sitting there. So it's not comfortable for me, but it works because it's close to the house. I can quickly run out and make adjustments if I need to. And it's somewhat allowed. I can set up anywhere in the county, as long as there's not like local ordinances. As far as I know, that main road, before you get into my actual street, doesn't fall under any ordinances that I know of, but we'll find out. I'm sure somebody will complain at some point and we'll figure it out from there. So, pretty much I have to cook in bulk cool, rest, cool, and then reheat. So that then poses challenges. How do you cook it to get to the point where it's perfect, but you can also reheat it and it's still perfect? So I find that not to be too challenging, because generally speaking, I know when I make a brisket, I throw it in the microwave, I reheat it and eat it for lunch for like the next 5 days, and it's always still good. So I didn't find that part to be too much of an issue. But the part that is an issue is because I have a full on food warmer on my trailer. So generally at home, once the brisket, once everybody eats and we're good, I usually slice up the brisket, put it in a bag, and then it gets microwaved. And so when I was doing it on the trailer, I was slicing up the brisket, putting it back in the warmer, but the warmer was just destroying the slices of brisket because it's so hot in there, and you have to keep it hotter because you want to keep bacteria out, right? So what I recently learned was, let me stop slicing off the brisket. I will only slice off the pieces that I need on the order, and then put the rest of the chunk back. That way I don't lose as much brisket as I was. So the other thing is, you know, we've talked about timing a lot when it comes to cooking barbecue and cooking brisket and stuff. And so what I would ultimately love to do is get up at, because I try to open up shop on the weekends by 11 o'clock. So that would most likely require an overnight cook, you know, set starting at 10 o'clock. But if I start at 10 o'clock and maybe catch a cat nap, which I've done, I actually attempted this. I started like 10, 11 o'clock, put a brisket on, sat in my truck, took cat naps. And, you know, when it was time to wrap, I wrapped the brisket, went back, took another cat nap. And then when it was time to pull brisket, pulled the brisket. But by then you're talking about it's 4 or 5 in the morning. I got to start reheating all the other stuff or cooking other stuff to get ready by 11. And when you're by yourself, on a lot of days, you know, you can do that once or twice, but doing that three times or every day that you're selling for weeks and weeks and weeks, it's just not going to work. I'm too tired, and I got to sit up for 5-6 hours and sell. So it just became, I realized pretty quickly that I have to take a day, cook all my briskets and pork shoulders, wrap, you know, let them sit, and then just find better ways to reheat them so they're as high quality as possible. So that is a logistic that I had to come to terms with, and that's what I'm talking about when it comes to setting expectations. And so far, you know, and the proper method to reheating, and I'm not 100% there yet. You know, people are happy with the brisket, but I'm not 100% there yet where I'm like, let me just give you this advice. What I will tell you is what I'm doing is, like I said, I was cooking them, resting them. But instead of taking them, slicing the whole thing off and reheating it, I'm trying to reheat it somewhat whole and then putting it. I've done this two ways. I reheated it, sliced. I don't like that method. The heat from the commercial oven, way too powerful. Reheating in the smoker actually worked really well when it was already sliced. But what I'm finding is just leaving it whole, reheating it slightly in the oven, and then finish reheating it in the smoker seems to be a lot gentler on the brisket. So that's what I'm kind of going with as of right now. Starting the reheating in the smoker. But if I'm closer to service time, I'll go ahead and start slicing off some pieces and then reheat that in the smoker. And then that way it is, I'm getting a better product there. But that depends on traffic. If it's a day I'm just popping up, then no, I'm going to leave it whole until I start getting orders. But if I'm at an event, I'll pre-slice it because I know I'm going to, the traffic at an event is pretty much guaranteed. So those are kind of the different mindsets that I'm working.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Anyway, so the other thing is, I mentioned earlier, I have a full on warmer on your trailer. And so what I was doing when it was time to rest the brisket, I would just say, I'll just turn my warmer on, put the warmer somewhere around 150 degrees and throw the brisket in there. And I didn't like how that turned out. It just seemed to start to dry it out a little bit. And I thought it was too harsh. So I said, okay, well, the brisket's hot. I just needed to rest in a, you know, pretty much warm area. So I stopped turning the warmer on. I just closed the door on the warmer. It's, you know, pretty airtight in there. And that seems to work better, but it's still nothing. I still find resting in my Caterade way, way better. So for those who have gone out and purchased a Caterade, you don't have to get the big Carlisle one that I have. You can get the actual Caterade one that's a styrofoam. We've mentioned that before. And that one is amazing. It holds temperature very well. It seals pretty airtight. And you can just let your brisket radiate and rest, knowing that you're not having to wrap it in, you know, 10 pounds of towels and stuff like that. But one of the main things, what are some of the new tips that I picked up? Okay, so first off, let's talk about wrapping the brisket. So we, you know, obviously it's your choice. You want to wrap in foil, you want to wrap in paper. I continue to wrap in paper, but what I found was, and I think I talked about this maybe last season, is I had always been on the hunt for the wider butcher paper. I think most butcher paper is about 17, 18 inches wide, and you generally would tear two equal size strips up, overlap them, and then wrap the brisket together in that butcher paper. But I had found some butcher paper on Amazon that was 24 inches. And I'm going to caution you, I would not get that. So I got it. I used the whole roll up over the weeks. And here's what I found with it. It does allow you to overlap it, give you more of an overlap because it's so wide. But the problem is it's not quite wide enough to. So the main reason I wanted to get it because I didn't want to overlap. I just wanted to wrap the brisket. It's still not wide enough to, for me at least, to properly wrap the brisket, unless I kind of did it on some sort of angle, but that's not how I wrap my brisket. So I wrap my brisket pretty straight on. So overlapping them and wrapping it straight on, you have a lot of wasted paper. And I felt like that just wasn't the move. If I have to overlap it anyway, then I might as well just get the regular size paper and then I can adjust the width of it based on the size of the brisket. So I would tell people, you know, don't worry about getting that wider paper. It really doesn't necessarily make things easier. But with that said, when I'm putting the paper down, pay attention because you can adjust it pretty well so that you can get a nice tight wrap and, you know, you can really just cook the brisket down. You don't have too much room to steam it more than so. So that those two things is one, the first tip that I picked up kind of realizing while doing this, cooking so many briskets over the last couple of weeks. The next one is, I don't think I ever talked about this too much. You know, we all We had definitely talked about, you know, when you wrap your brisket, obviously, you know, recoat it with some seasoning. Go ahead and put a little bit of tallow in there. But I'm actually been taking like a little dabble of beef broth, maybe like a 2 or 3 tablespoons, and putting it in the paper and wrapping the brisket in there. I'm just finding that the juices that comes off the brisket mixed with that makes a great jus. So when I'm slicing off the brisket, I can dip it in those juices and put it in the container. So they're nice and juicy for folks and ready to rock. So I would definitely consider adding a little bit of broth. Just use your favorite beef broth in that wrap while you're wrapping it. And sort of what I do is I will pull the back of the paper up over the brisket, fold the two sides in so it makes like a nice pocket. And I, you know, go ahead and crease it all the way down the length of the paper. And then I pour the broth. So it has like, so I'm not just having broth running all over the place. And then I just go ahead and roll it. Final thing is just make sure you're paying attention as you roll the brisket that you know, if you wanted to maintain your fat side up, you just pay attention to how many times you have to flip it to make sure you get it back with the flat side up. I have had occasion where I miscounted and the fat side was down. Overall, didn't kill the brisket. It's not my favorite though. I always find it just doesn't, it's not as juicy as I like it to be, but you know, it just could all be placebo. But just pay attention to as you're flipping the brisket where it's lined up at. Next, so obviously if I'm running a business, I got to buy the brisket that makes the most sense for a business. And as much as I would love to be ordering my briskets from the butcher, they're just too expensive in comparison to buying them from, you know, a store like Costco. And even though I'm not a huge fan of their briskets, even right now, because I find that the end result is very inconsistent. And I don't know if it's a testament to maybe they're sourcing their meat from multiple different vendors. And, you know, depending on which vendor you get a different result. I'm not sure why that's been my experience, but my experience is I can do the same exact process every single time and just get different results. So even like now, the first couple of weeks, I thought I had nailed in the one of the biggest things is what temperature to smoke a Costco brisket to. And I had traditionally been smoking up to 205 and I reined that back into like 200. But, you know, the first couple of weeks I was smoking my Costco briskets to about 192, 193. And I was finding that was like the perfect temp for their briskets. It was juicy. It was definitely tender. Past the pull test, which is, you know, you want the brisket to fold over a knife without breaking, but then you want to give it a tug and it just pulls apart pretty easily. And, you know, both the flat and the point were passing that test. But lately, probably the last 2 weeks, I've had like one or two briskets out of maybe the four that I'm smoking that the flat was tender, but the point was still needed like another, you know, 30 minutes or so. So now I'm starting to question whether the 192, 193 is the right temperature for their briskets. It could also be another thing that I've been finding is where you probe the brisket. And what I don't mean where as in, you know, the flat versus the point. You definitely want to point probe in the point. But what I'm finding is sometimes I'll be pushing the probe into the brisket and the temperature will be like 137, and then I'll push it in somewhere else and it'll be like could be a difference in like 15, 20 degrees based on where I push the probe in. And sometimes it's where it's how far you push it in. So I always recommend that you keep a second probe on hand so you can kind of basically get an idea of what that brisket is actually doing. But I would caution you, and I probably bet that a lot of people that are struggling with their brisket, it could potentially be where you actually probed it. It's just not giving you a good reading in that location. So definitely be careful with that. Don't just assume that where you're probing your brisket is the best spot for it. I've had to adjust that numerous times to get it right. So just keep that in mind. So the other thing is now, another tip is I traditionally had, cut off a corner that helped me figure out which direction the grain of the brisket was going, so that I can slice it against the grain, most specifically on the flat. I stopped doing that because, again, I'm trying not to waste as much meat. And what I'm finding is if I flip the brisket upside down, I can actually see the grain and just cut accordingly. So with that said, traditionally I would slice the flat all the way till I got into the point. And as soon as I started seeing like both layers of the point and the flat in those slices, I would then stop, cut the point in half from the tip of it to the back of it, and then slice outwards, right? But what I'm doing now, and I find this just to be much better, is I'm separating the point in the flat and then slicing it and then beginning the slicing process, as opposed to slicing through the point into the flat at the point where they meet. And I just find that to be a better look aesthetically. And with that said, the other thing is, and I don't know why, I've probably never mentioned this, it never really dawned on me, but traditionally I would cut the flat, the same direction it cooked. And then inevitably I would get to the section where the point was sitting on top, and there would be no bark there. And as I started separating the two and then flipping it upside down, it just hit me out of nowhere that, man, all the bark is here. So just leave it that way. And I'm sure some people might be laughing. It's like, yeah, I've always did that. Or they've seen other people do that. But I've never talked about it because it never really dawned on me. I just, after I sliced it off, I was like, let's dig in. But aesthetically, it actually looks better. So when you have your bark sitting up high, and, the beginning part of the flat, it doesn't matter, right? Because you have a full bark on both sides. But once you get, past that first half and you're getting to the second half of the flat, but where the point was sitting on top, you just have like the fat that was there left over. So flip it upside down and serve it that way, and then you have a nice bark out there, and usually your smoke ring is there too next to it, so it looks better. So that's another thing I wanted to talk about and point out as a tip that I come across, because it just looks better, and I like the way it's been coming out. So don't get bigger wrap for your briskets. Not necessary. Just stick with the two pieces of the regular size one. Add a little broth to when you're wrapping, but you can do it before you wrap it or as you're wrapping it. I've been doing it as I'm wrapping it. Still playing with the Costco briskets. For those folks that use the Costco briskets, experiment with pulling it a little bit earlier. And, maybe around 195, still let it rest for the 2 hours, because that should let it creep up. See if that, what those results are. And, if you do that and you find that it's not, tender enough, you can wrap it in foil and stick it back in the smoker and try it again the next time, and maybe a couple degrees higher or lower. So definitely, experiment with pulling your brisket a little earlier. And then for slicing ease, try, if you're not doing it already, give it a shot one time. So separate the flat and the point. It's easy to do. You just find that fat, that thick fat that's in between both of them. So stick your knife in there, push it all the way through to the other side, and just follow that line. Your knife will glide right through it. It's a piece of cake. It's not daunting at all. Slice it one way, pick it up or fold it out, and then slice it back the other direction to finish separating it. Really easy to do. And then finally, when you're serving it, definitely take a look at, give it a shot. That section that, if you don't do the whole thing upside down, just try the section that where the point was sitting on top of it, and see what you get. You might actually really, really like, the aesthetics and the looks of that better. So I wanted to get this episode up and let folks, you know, everybody know where we're at. For our patrons, I definitely have a recording coming up for you guys to kind of talk a little bit more about the business side and some more logistics. If you want to be a part of that or just hear the things I'm saying on that side, by all means, join our Patreon, patreon.com/barbecue and tech. And you know, you can get some more inside information of how the food truck is going and, you know, and how I planned it. The first recording is literally going to be, for folks that are considering starting their food truck or considering just want to hear how I actually got started. What are the first things I did? And all of that jazz. So, the next episode, Rod should be back and we'll record together. Rod's been helping me out, so I'm sure he'll have some perspective of things to talk about. But thank you all very much for your support and your kind words and your encouragement. I feel them and I appreciate them. And until the next episode, we will talk to you guys later. Have a great day. Peace.
It's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.